Good afternoon. Did anybody else think it was kind of chilly this morning? I hopped up my Labrador, got me up about 7 o'clock and grabbed shorts I had on last night, walked outside, was like, yes, it's supposed to be May out here. It's pretty chilly. Felt real good, though. Had the windows down. I drove over to Tamasi this morning, or Tamasi. If anybody would like to call me and let me know the correct way to say that, I would appreciate it. Somebody said that Yemisi, so it's Tamasi. I don't know. Anyway, went over to Piedmont Forestry this morning for a fishing rodeo. All the windows down. Lots of people out. The little restaurants along 11 and over in, I forget the name of the little town. I went through the back roads. Went through Marietta and out through the country. They were all packed. The East Otoe access off 11 was packed. Just a great morning to be out. Now it's Saturday afternoon. Of course, it's clouded up. Can be a little rain around this weekend. But hey, you're listening to another edition of Woods and Water South Carolina here on 94.5 WGTK. My name is still Roger Metz, and it's a day for you to call in. You know, I've always got news and trips that, you know, I've got scheduled to talk about, but I'd love to hear from you. What have you done outside? Did you go fishing this morning? Did you go fishing last week? Did you go hiking? I did a little of both this week. Went up to the Chattooga River, hiked, fished, broke a bunch of rules I told y'all when I went over the basic rules for hiking. Yeah, I broke some of those. My brother gave me a bit of grief about it. But what have you done? You got a question? Want to tell me what's going on in your outdoor world? Call me at 235-9405 or outside the area at 1-877-235-9405. Before we go any further, peach milkshakes are back at Chick-fil-A. Dave gave me a big thumbs up. I told him last week I was going to get him one, but the Taylor's Chick-fil-A was closed up for renovation. So I stopped at the Greer one today, and oh boy, they're good. Be sure to get it whipped cream and cherry. So anyway, now back to the show. Punted last week on a Gulfstream story. Try to get to it later today. Like I said, I rode out to Piedmont Forestry Fishing Rodeo. We'll get to that later on. I did get up to the Chattooga River. It should have been a camping trip, but, oh, you know, we had a couple of the regulars. One's a baseball coach. He's busy with his little league baseball duties. Another one is starting a new business, and the patriarch of the whole thing's wife broke her ankle, so she's laid up, and he's staying with her, which is a good thing. So the three of us that were left went to the Chattooga on Wednesday. Tried to get to that a little bit, too. But let's get back to the calendar of events, reminders. I did check with Dan Dupree, South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. It was on last week. Camp Wildwood is full. However, they are keeping a waiting list just in case for cancellation. So if you listened last week, Camp Wildwood, thought it'd be fun, they're full, get on the waiting list. You never know what would happen. I also got a message from Bo Mongold. He was with the Youth Learning Institute camps at Clemson. He said there are still openings, but you need to hurry. So if you're looking to get your kid in an outdoor setting for camp this summer, those are the two places you need to go, and quickly. Calendar events, right here at Paris Mountain State Park, May the 24th, Suited to Swim. It's a scavenger hunt in the swamp. That's what it boils down to. Salamanders, frogs, ducks, insects, the beaver population. Bring shoes that get wet so you can get in the creek. Right up the road, May 24th, 1 to 2:30. There is some registration requirements for the day before. Give them a call. That's at the South Carolina State Parks website. Coastal kayaking. Now, this is a summer-long event at Huntington Beach State Park, Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, which I will be in Murrells Inlet soon. It's a two-hour guided tour of the salt marsh. Excellent for beginners. You do need to call them and reserve a space. Bring drinking water, sunscreen, lace-up shoes that can get wet and muddy. Hey, I love getting dirty when you're outside. It's every week. It's Monday every week from now until October the 31st. You do need to call 843-235-8755. You can find this at the South Carolina State Parks website. There is a fee. What a way to spend a couple hours down at Murrells Inlet. The Carolina Ladies Angler Fishing for the Cure Tournament. It's the 17th annual. Will be Saturday, May 31st. It's open to everyone. It's Carolina Lady Anglers, but it's open to male, female, youth. King mackerel, Spanish mackerel, trout, flounder, sheep's head, ladyfish. They're doing it out of the Charleston Maritime Center. There's a captain's meeting on Wednesday the 28th. Weigh-in is Saturday, May 31st from 4 to 6. If you like to saltwater fish, there are going to be awards for first, second, third places in all the species. Hey, first place for a dogfish. And then a mystery prize fish will be announced. Now, this sounds a little bit like what we do in Charleston with the put-up or shut-up fishing tournament. We have had a trash fish. Oyster toadfish makes a great trash fish. Let me tell you. They are the ugliest, hideous-looking things, and they bite after 8 hours in a cooler. Ask Jim Reed if you want to know any more details. But anyway, Carolina Lady Anglers, May 31st, for a good cause. And I got this one from the Tiger River Foundation. It's the first annual Fish the Tiger. It's a fishing day and demo, May 31st, 2014. That's right over here in Roebuck, South Carolina, so it's close to Greenville. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., come fish, learn to fish, or just enjoy being outside. All ages are welcome. They're going to have fly fishing demos, fly tying demos, bait fishing demonstrations, spinning rod, bass lure demonstrations, vendors. You can watch DNR catch fish. I guess they're going to do a shocking. I'm not sure, but they said it has bullet point. Watch SCDNR catch and identify Tiger River fish. Additional exhibits, a snake, wigglies. I found about a 4 foot long snake skin in the edge of the Chattooga River Wednesday, and the hair on the back of my neck just stood up. Woof. I don't like snakes when I'm out in the woods. But anyway, snake exhibit, toddler fishing pool, and more. Contact, you can get the information at www.tigerriver.org. Moving on, there is one more youth fishing rodeo. Now, there were two today, one in Union and one in Tomasi. Saturday, June 14th at the Cohen Campbell Fish Hatchery. Now, that's in West Columbia, 9 a.m. to noon, 13 years and under. You know, again, no adult fishing, but you have to be with an adult. Some rods are available. Bring your own if possible. Bait provided. No alcoholic beverages, no pets. Free refreshments. Space available for the first 250 kids. When I looked today, it still had a no beside it, which means that it wasn't full. Sponsored by Academy Sports, Harry Hampton Foundation, SCDNR. Check it out. Go to this last one of the year. Next year, I will start on these much earlier, keep you informed so you can make these. They're a great, great thing for you to take your kids and even grandparents. I saw some grandparents this morning. I'll tell you about those later. The 19th annual Low Country Anglers Fishing Tournament will be June 21st. I'm stretching these out a little bit because you need to, you know, figure out schedules to be down there, captain's meetings, that sort of thing. That'll be at the Charleston Maritime Center. Be June 21st, 2014. There's an entry fee, 45 adults, youth 15 under 15. Hey, this one's got it all. Speckled trout, flounder, sheep's head, bluefish, black sea bass, spadefish, Spanish mackerel, king mackerel. There's a cash payout for first place. Plaques, rods and reels, second place rod and reel, third place cast net. You can get a hold of Skip Milligan at 509-0192 for more information. Again, I'll put these up on the Woods and Water South Carolina Facebook page. I know I keep getting comments. It's a lot of information, but it's a lot of things that really, really neat. And for you as a family to get out and go do some of this stuff, it's a good family time, and I want y'all to take advantage of this. So that's some for this week. Reminders again, the outdoor camps. You know, get your kid outside this summer. I was at a graduation last night, and the commencement speaker was talking about you put away certain things when you get older, and you know, what's your kid going to do this summer? Are you going to let him stay home, play his video games, or would you get him outside and maybe start him down a path of life that'll take him through the outdoors and give him some memories and some experiences that last him a lifetime? So, get outdoors, go do things this summer. Back on the other side of the break with more. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Like I said before, I'll put those calendar events on the Facebook page, and you can find that at www.facebook.com/woodsandwatersc. Log on, check out the posts and pictures, and there will be posts and pictures this week, and give the show a like. You can also email me at scwoodsandwater@gmail.com with an event, with a question, topic, anything you don't feel comfortable coming on the air with, you can email me there. I need to talk about a sponsor, SoCar Chemical. Now, SoCar is located right here on Rutherford Road, right next to the Terminex building. They have been in business forever. The Wampoles brothers have run that business. They have done that their whole life. They know what they're doing, and what they do is great. They have all sorts of cleaners. They know how to tell you how to use those cleaners, and they mix those cleaners right there. They don't just buy them from somebody else and repackage them. They buy the ingredients. They buy the fragrances that they want, so it doesn't smell like bleach, and they have it all right there. It's open. If you're a corporate, a business, they have business accounts. If you just want to walk in off the street, have a showroom there, be more than happy to help you with it. But they have, oh, wow, pontoon cleaners, acids, auto specialty cleaners, degreasers, detergents, disinfectants, floor coatings, you know, the ingredients, the coatings, the sealers, and the waxes. Get a hold of them. You can call them at 244-5068. You can talk to Dawn if you go in when you call in, or there's Gary, Terry, and David there to help you when you go in. And what's really cool about going over there is when you go in the door, they have those old refurbished gas station pumps around the shop, and they're just so cool. So for all your cleaning needs like that, SoCar Chemical, 2609 Rutherford Road, 244-5068, and tell them you heard about them on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Now, like I said before, I got up this morning, however grudgingly I did. I was late leaving. I was even later getting back, but, you know, an hour and 15 minutes over there, and I spent maybe 45 minutes to an hour there and an hour and 15 minutes, but it's so fun watching these kids fish. And I know I talk about kids a lot on this program, and that's one of the things. This is the next generation that we're going to have to – we're responsible for bringing them along to replace us, because face it, at some point I'm not going to be able to go to the Chattooga River and trout fish. My knees and ankles got worked over so much Wednesday. And my brother and I were talking, how long are we going to be able to do that? Hopefully years, but at some point we're not. But we need to bring these kids along. I was talking to Chuck Barnes up at Lake Cunningham. He said, you know, I've got the same people coming back, but there's no young kids. There's no new fishing license being issued to teenagers and that sort of thing up there. So we gotta work, get these kids involved. Now, what a beautiful morning for it. Cold. Oh, it was great. Breeze blowing up there. Now, this one is different. Most youth fishing rodeos are catfish. The one at Draper was catfish, and I'm sure the other ones, just because of the water temperature. But up at the Piedmont Forestry Center, they have a creek running through it, Chiawee Creek, and they stock trout. So if you went up there today, you were catching trout. They took a four-year break. This is the second year back. When I got there this morning, I ran into Lance Corporal Henry Barnett, who was the man in charge, and when you know it, I ran into the right person. I talked to him for a little bit this morning. They took 4 years off, and fishing rodeos generally in South Carolina were on hold for a few years, and now they're back. This is the second year up there, but this was a 12 and under fishing rodeo, and he said, you know, the kids we had coming before are too old to come now, so we're having to get a whole new crop of kids in there. And they had about 400 people, he said, probably 175 to 200 kids. And it was just a beautiful place to have one. The sponsor tents, they had Trout Unlimited. The lady was there tying woolly boogers. And let me tell you something. If you've never trout fished before, or you're thinking about taking it, stock up on woolly boogers. There's a lot of days you go up there and you're like, all right, I'm dry fly fishing only. Boy, that woolly booger will save the day. Rainbow trout in swift water just can't resist them. The South Carolina Forestry Commission was there. They had a bulldozer up there. Oconee County Solid Waste Recycling Center had a bunch of free stuff, you know, oil reclamation. When you change your oil, the little plastic tubs and all sorts of other things. Westminster Gideon's was there. Of course, DNR was all over the place. South Carolina State Forestry was all over the place. And they brought they had the DNR fish hatchery trailer. The Walhalla fish hatchery trailer was there. Where they load all this trout in, they back up to the river and dump it in, or they load them into a helicopter basket and take them down to below Columbia. And the lots of volunteers, but the Boy Scouts were there. The Boy Scouts were there volunteering, helping with get kids registered, get them on the water. They were going up and down the creeks, making sure everybody was having a good time, untangling lines I saw a couple of times. The really cool thing about Piedmont Forestry Center is they have rentals. You can go up there and rent the conference room. They have picnic shelters out there, and they even have a cabin on the creek. Another one of those mixed-use places. It's really cool. Lots of kids, excited kids, bored kids, kids who are done. And when a kid says he's done fishing, like I said before, hey, you be done too. It's not about you fishing. It's about them. So, lots of parents, lots of patience. I heard a few parents lose it, but that's to be expected. The 20th time you have to pull the hook out of the trees. You tend to get a little flustered. And a few grandparents. It was great. There was one gentleman sitting in a chair, and he must have had three or four of his grandkids around him, and he was tying on another hook, and I said, are you having fun? He goes, I'm doing what a granddad is supposed to do. That's cool. If the parents can't do it, this is what granddaddy is supposed to do. Took me back to when I was growing up fishing with mine. I don't know how many hooks he tied on for me because he expected me to learn the old granddaddy Mitt's fish hook knot and tie my own. But he had to teach me that the first time, and I thought that was just really cool for me. Little girls with worms. There was this one little girl up there. She's blonde, pigtails and all, and she was just picking up those night crawlers, and she was picking them up and showing them to her mother and all. It was just cute. Lots of kids with stringers full of fish. There were lots of fish. The limit was 5 per, and there were a lot of 5 per kids headed out of there when I left this morning. Like I said, don't force them to stay. When it's fun's over for them, the fun's over for you. There were plenty of other things you could do up there. Go to the tents, talk to the people. There were refreshments being served. There's lots of room to walk up there. Take them for a walk. Just get a break. They may want to go back and fish. In the calendar events, I talked about one more rodeo in West Columbia. I'll start talking about them early next year. In the meantime, since the rodeos are about over, there is something else you can do. You can look up the family fishing clinics at the SCDNR website. Find one near you, or if you can't find one near you, call them. There are certified fishing instructors. I'm one. And we will, if you get 20 or so people, we will come to your lake or wherever and put on a clinic for you and your friends. That's teaching you just the basics, how to put a reel on a rod, how to thread this line through the eyelets, how to tie on a hook, how to tie on a bobber, how to cast. If you've never done it and you want to learn how to get involved, those are fishing clinics. They're free for you. Find one, practice up for next year, and then hit one of these rodeos with your kids. They're a great time. I have an update. I know we've been keeping up with NASP, the National Archery in Schools Program, especially with the upstate Hurricanes team here in Greenville. They qualified at the state and went to Nationals in Kentucky on May the 8th. Through the 10th, and I had a preliminary call from Colleen last Saturday, but like I said, they were traveling, and she said it's not over yet, so I waited just a little bit. The Upstate Hurricanes high school team placed number 1 in the high school division for the state, and out of 164 teams, they ranked 83rd. For a program since its first year, that's great. They are offering, if you're interested, they're offering a summer shooting league this summer. You can get a hold of the Upstate Hurricanes website to find out more information. They also were participants in a record-breaking Guinness Book of World Records 10,443 people shooting archery tournament. Grades 4 through 12, 665 schools over 39 states. And it goes from here to international competition shortly. So congratulations to the Hurricanes. I'm sure that for some of those young people, this is a great thing, and it will be on during, on through their life. A little bit of news here in the last part of this segment, and you knew it was coming. You've seen it with Magpul in Colorado. You've seen it with a couple of others moving from the states that are implementing these strict gun control regulations. And this is Remington Firearms, America's oldest gun maker. This is from Forbes magazine. America's oldest gun maker thumbs its nose at a two-faced senator. And we're talking about Senator Charles Schumer here, who in March of 2011 put out a press release that today U.S. Senator Charles Schumer joined Remington officials and plant employees to announce that Bushmaster Firearms is relocating a manufacturing facility from Windham, Maine to Ilion, New York, bringing 40 new jobs to central New York. Schumer has been a longtime supporter of manufacturing at the Remington plant, urging top Army officials to open competition for Army small arms contracts, la, 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 la. And you know what happened starting in 2012? The reinstate of the assault weapons ban came on. So it's a little bit of poetic justice here. But there are lots of industry like this moving to the gun-friendly South. He said, you know, the moves are a result of these anti-gun policies. Don't underestimate the gun industry. The economic impact of the gun and ammo industry in the U.S. grew from $19.1 billion in 2008 to $37.7 billion in 2013. It's a 97% increase. The full-time jobs have gone from 166 to 245,000. That's according to the National Shooting Sports Foundation. Demand for ammunition, if you've tried to buy ammunition, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's something really sad here, because this is America's, that plant is America's oldest factory that still was making its original product, guns. In October 2013, 1,400 employees were making 4,900 guns per day, which is an amazing, amazing statistic. But anyway, they're moving to Alabama, and they are trying to bring as many of the people that work in those plants with them when they come, which is any good corporation would do. But hey, we love them in the South. Everyone that wants to come on down, come on down. See you on the other side of the break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I was checking messages during the break, and I got a message from Tim Jackson that says Hayes Jackson won the Zebco 33. So last week I had the reel for anyone that was going down there. This morning while I was down, I left it, and a Mr. Hayes Jackson now enjoys a brand new Zebco 33 combo. And as I said on the, I hope it's a deserving young man who will go and catch many fish with it. So, one thing I wanted to get to, another economic bit of news for South Carolina, and that is Scout Boats in Somerville is expanding, and I am a proud Scout Boat owner. It's a small Scout, don't get me wrong. I was in one of the new 30-somethings down at the boat show, and boy, what a beautiful boat. But my Scout's kind of small, but it's just enough for me. It keeps me from getting into trouble. But they have made a remarkable comeback since the reception. They're going to add 300 jobs by February 2015 with the expansion. It's adding 30,000 square feet to its already 182,000 square feet facility. President and CEO Steve Potts says our company is changing. Demand for Scout is growing. And because of the port system right there, they are shipping boats to Mexico, Brazil, Finland, Sweden, Italy, Colombia, and Australia, which is great. We got a company right here that's building boats, and they're going worldwide. He even went on to say that the demand for boats is up across the board, but the boats they manufacture 27 feet or larger are sold out for the rest of the year. And that tells you there's some money out there in boating. But anyway, good piece of news for South Carolina Scout Boats, which is a South Carolina company. And I'd be interested to know, and I have somebody working on this, we've talked about several times, about finding out how many boat manufacturers we have in South Carolina. We have a lot of boat manufacturers here, so that's coming up. We have Speaking of news in South Carolina, we have on the line with us right now Captain Stephen Field from Charleston, South Carolina. Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Before we even get into the story, what's the strangest thing up until Tuesday that you've seen in the ocean?
I'd say a bale of marijuana.
A bale of marijuana. Now, did you keep it or turn it in?
Man, I ran as far away as I could.
Well, tell us what happened to you. This, people, listen up. This is a great story. What happened Tuesday?
We were going offshore for cobia. Me and a fellow charter captain, we both had the day off, and we went to the Edisto 60.
And you still went fishing?
Cobia, couldn't get them to eat, so we started to run a little further out. And about 4 miles away from Edisto 60, we thought we saw what was a sea turtle about 100 yards out. And, of course, we're going to check it out because cobia, they love shade. Anything in the ocean that provides shade.
They do.
Whether it be an eagle ray or a sea turtle.
Right.
So when we got a little closer, we noticed it was an alligator. And, really weren't sure if it was alive or dead. But the closer we got, it opened its lids back and started moving around. I'm very opportunistic when it comes to filming things. It all good footage. It's no such thing as bad publicity. And so
true.
We got up to it, got some good footage of it, and, just amazing day. No cobia, but we got plenty of black sea bass and spade fish, and saw a gator about 18 miles offshore. Pretty incredible.
That's incredible. Now, he was alive, right? I mean, at the end of the video,
He was cooperative with me. There's no doubt. He wasn't aggressive or anything. You could tell he was worn out.
Right.
But it's pretty incredible that an alligator can make it that far out and survive.
Why do you think he was that far out?
Well, I think it was possibly due to the extreme high and low tides we've had in the past few weeks.
Full moon.
The flood tides we've had.
Right.
And I just think he got flushed out of the river and swam the wrong way.
Incredible. And if you haven't seen the video, you need to go to YouTube. And what's the link for it, Stephen?
Should be South Carolina Offshore Gator, or my YouTube page is Fields Fishing.
And you're a guide, and since you took time out of your day, are you fishing right now, or are you at home on the hill?
No, sir. I'm at the beach.
So. You're at the beach today.
I had a day off.
So you get a day off, and you go fishing. You get another day and go to the beach. It's just in your blood, isn't it?
That's right.
And thanks for calling it. What's your guide service? Give a plug for your business.
I own and operate Field Fishing Charters. I operate charters from Isle of Palms to Edisto and everywhere in between, inshore and nearshore. My website is www.redfishcharleston.com. And you can also reach me at fieldsfishing@yahoo.com. That is my email.
Now, let me ask you the question everybody wants to know. Are you going to start offering offshore gator hunts?
I just might. I'll have to contact DNR and make sure we're in the clear, but I tell you, man, there's probably money in that.
It probably is. Well, look, I saw the video, read the story, and I wanted to have it straight from the source, and I really appreciate you calling in. Have a good day at the beach, and I'll talk to you soon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks, Stephen.
Take care.
Yes, a gator 19, and for those of you who don't know much about the tides, we just went through a full moon cycle. And on a full moon cycle and a new moon cycle on the coast, and Charleston has, 5-6 foot tides to begin with, you'll have extreme tides on those moon cycles. And what he was saying was the gators, they're all up and down the coast there. They mostly like those freshwater ponds. They tolerate the salt water, but mostly they like to be inshore where it's maybe a little brackish. And he just said it just got sucked out and ended up 18 miles offshore. And it was very alive. Now, there is a companion story to that a gator washed up on Folly Beach on Wednesday, which could be the same gator. They called DNR. DNR called a nuisance animal contractor for them, and they disposed of the gator. It said it was sick. Now, there's some controversy there. But you do see some strange things offshore. But it's great. And that's a cool video if you go to it and look at it. You never know what you're going to run a bale of marijuana to an alligator. Pretty cool. Where was I? I talked last week or maybe the week before about Lily Fest, and I was telling you the spider lilies over at Lansford Canal State Park. Got an update. They are blooming. Lily Fest is May 18th, which is tomorrow. They started blooming on the 15th. The release was they should bloom in the park from May through mid-June. It's a 1.5 mile round trip from the down the canal trail. You know, take a canoe because they have some good smallmouth fishing over there, along with catfish and gar and brim and that sort of thing. And with this new moon, is May moon, if you've ever been brim fishing or whatever, that first full moon in May is when they go on the bed. If you know a small farm pond, now's the time to go hit it. Don't forget there will be bass hanging around those brim beds. So, you know, maybe 6-pound test line, 4 might be a little light, but whatever, fishing's fun. I actually was, a friend of mine took me up into the Cooper River rice fields. Now that was an experience. Took me up to the Cooper River rice fields where there are plenty of alligators. If you are interested in putting in for a gator tag, there's a bunch of them out there this year. We saw 10s, 11s, a couple of 12s, along with the smaller bunch and all. But we were catching shellcracker and bluegill up in the Cooper River rice fields. You know, all the old water control structures there, the Spanish moss in the trees, the alligators. But it was really cool. So if you got a small pond, a lake, you know, you look for the little rounded out sand spots on the bottom. There's no better fishing than brim fishing when they are on, and they're on right now. Wow. I guess we have enough time. Offshore. Now, I don't know how many of you out there have ever been to the Gulf Stream fishing. So for the sake of this discussion, I'll assume nobody's listening has ever been. It'll be kind of short and to the point and informative. If you veterans out there remember what it was like your first trip, I can still remember my first trip. I get out a couple of times. Lucky for me, I have friends who tolerate me for a day, who still call me and say, hey, well, maybe that's it. Maybe they call me because they don't have enough money to make the gas bill and they call me. Well, we can put up with them for a while. But I normally get a couple of invites a year. But if you've ever thought about chartering a boat to the Gulf Stream, and this is where you shift from, hey, go fishing with your kids to, hey, get 5 of your buddies and go out. And right now, the mahi bite is incredible. And they're good eating fish. But chartering a boat, it's not cheap. You know, most sporties, sport fishermen, they're 40 to 60 feet long. You know, you see them along the docks. They got dark windows, air conditioning, bathrooms, the big flared bows, the outriggers, the conning towers and they may even have a tuna tower on top of that, the radar domes, all the big fishing rods and reels sticking out. One of those is going to run you $2,000 to $2,800 a day. Now, again, you can get a group of 6 people. They're 6-pack charters. Split the cost. You know, that for the charter, it's $400. Throw in a tip, under $500, you can go offshore. Now, that's a lot of money. Might make you save up for a little bit, but there are smaller boats you can take. There are some in the 28 to 32-foot center consoles. They don't have the bathroom. They still have shade from the T-tops, just as much experience, and can catch just as many fish as the big boats. They average $1,500 a day. 6 guys, that's $300. And you can look at all the charter websites for details of what you need to bring, things included, fish cake, fish cleaning and packaging. Well, here's the music. I'll finish this up on the next segment. Bear with me. See you on the other side. And welcome back to the final segment of Woods and Water South Carolina for today. You can call me at 235-9405, 877-235-9405, or send me an email at scwoodsandwater.com. Finishing up on the offshore stuff, you know, weather is the deciding factor on any charter. It's even more so on an offshore charter. Now, the boats are bigger. They can take a little more weather than, say, a flats boat inshore. But you go ahead and book, and then you just pray for good weather. But it is so much fun. You know, you're up around 4 a.m., and this is just a recap of what we did. We're up 4 o'clock, We had actually been lent a 25-foot contender, twin 150 Yamaha four strokes. Let me tell you what, those people in Hilton Head, they live a different life. In Charleston, if you need gas at 5:30 in the morning, you can find on-the-water gas. In Hilton Head, 7 o'clock. We got down too late to get gas the night before. Needed gas in the morning. We were sitting in Harbor Town at 7 o'clock at the fuel dock. 7 o'clock, normally on the morning when the sun comes up, you're 30 miles off, and you're about an hour away from setting lines. Sunrise over the ocean is incredible. I love a sunrise off on the ocean. Anyway, we cleared the shipping channel around 8, lines in around the deli, which is what they call some of the humps and all down in that area. And I've never fished out of Hilton Head before. It's the first time I normally got out of Charleston. But we're trolling for dolphin, mahi-mahi, not the flipper. We did see flipper out there, big pods of them chasing bait fish. But those mahi right now are running up the warm edge of the Gulf Stream, running north, and they are eating machines. They'll eat anything that you have dragged behind the boat. Some colors they like better on certain days, other colors other days, but they are fun catching. You know, we picked at them, which is what you call when you get one here, one there. We had one triple hookup. You know, we're trolling 7 or 8 lines, and we had 3 fish come in, knocked down 4 rods, 3 hookups. We boated all 3 of them, which is great. That's what, when you have a good crew, and on a pickup charter, a pickup trip like this, that's what you do. Everybody chips in. I'm a get my hands dirty kind of guy. I love getting in there and setting lines and opening the fish box and hosing down the deck and that sort of thing. It's driving the boat. I drove out part of the way, drove in part of the way. It's just a lot of fun and a lot of camaraderie. We landed the 3, ended the day with, you know, 10 knockdowns. That's a hit where it doesn't hook up. You don't know exactly what it is. A lot of times you hit a knockdown, you can free spool the reel and drop it back and pick that fish up because he's swiped at it. He's expecting it to be dead and floating in the water. And a lot of times you can get him to pick it back up again. Kind of like a bass, you know, pick up a lure and drop it and then come back to it. We had a nice dozen gaffer dolphin, which means you have to use the gaff to get them in the book. You can't sling them like a slinger or grab them like a peanut. You know, somehow I got, and this happens, I get 2 fish that are fairly good sized fish and they just strip line off. One of them was on the triple and I just had to let him run because the other 2 were on closer lines and I just had to let mine run. And boy, I tell you, the muscles in my left arm were just yikes. They were sore. You know, setting out riggers and lines, open, closing fish, handing off rods, getting the gaff, washing down the deck. It's a full share. Now, when you're on a charter, they do all that for you. You know, they don't want you getting hurt and that sort of thing, but still you're there, you're seeing it all done. It's really, man, when those outrigger lines snap off or that reel starts screaming, it's electric on a boat deck. But when you're standing there on the beach looking across the breakers to Europe, you know, you say, oh yeah, there's a lot of water out there, but man, the ocean out there is alive. You know, we saw king mackerel free jumping, flying fish, all sorts of birds. And birds are good because they usually follow the fish you want to catch. I've seen bigger sharks. We saw a small shark cruising on the surface, dolphins, sea turtles. And then we had, boy, those 3 mahi that came in on top, and you saw them come across the top of the water because it wasn't but about a 1 foot. Really a cool thing. So, and the best part about it, it's a day with no cell phone, no beeps, tweets, bells, ringtones. If you've ever thought about going offshore, go do it. You know, it may take you saving a little bit or foregoing something else, but it's an experience you'll always remember. If you're scared of getting seasick, there are lots of pills and bracelets out there. One of the best ones I've heard of is just stay out on the deck. Stay where you can see the horizon. Now, you will sway for a couple of days afterwards, and that's normal. I still do it. But it's just one of those days. It's just a day that you'll remember. Go do it. Have some fun. If you like it, take your kids next time. They'll have a ball too. And just be aware of everything going on around you. Now, next weekend, Memorial Day. I know a lot of people will be going off. I'm going to be, I hope, going to be out of town for a couple of days. And I didn't want this to go by without mentioning it. I'll be short with it, because this article is probably 4 pages long, but I won't read you the whole article. Memorial Day. You know, it's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. just a little history to bring you back and make you realize what it's all about. You know, they say there were beginnings of Memorial Day celebrations back as far as 1867. Ladies in the South are decorating graves of the Confederate dead way back then. It was declared the birthplace in Waterloo, New York by President Lyndon Johnson in 66. But Memorial Day is not about division. In the beginnings, Southerners, we didn't celebrate it with the Northerners because we honored our dead different times. But it's about reconciliation. It's about coming together to honor those who gave their all. And when you get outside and you see what all is out there, the hunting, the fishing, the hiking, the camping, the outdoors, you know, are you willing to give your all for it? These guys did, and that's why we have Memorial Day. The first state to recognize it was New York in 1873. Again, this is when the South refused to acknowledge the day up until it started honoring World War I veterans. It's now celebrated as the first, and every state is the last Monday in May. Some people say that when they passed it to make a three-day weekend, that it lost a lot of the focus off of it, off of the day, and more on, hey, we got three-day weekends. So next weekend, when you're off, wherever you're going to be for Memorial Day, thank a vet. Remember them. In December of 2000, they passed a resolution that says sometime 3 p.m. on Memorial Day for all Americans to voluntarily and informally observe in their own way a moment of remembrance and respect. And as we're out next weekend, please do that. Remember Memorial Day and those that gave their all for what we have. That's my little off topic for this week. If you're a duck hunter, April showers bring more than May flowers in the Prairie Pothole region. They have had a very generous, wet spring out there. North Dakota Game and Fish says we are great wetlands conditions for duck reproduction this year. Other prairie pothole regions above average or at least average precipitation as opposed to last year when it was very dry. They're seeing basins 80 to 100% full, which is what you want because, you know, that's where the aquatic insects come from and that sort of thing. It gives them that nesting habitat, keeps the predators from getting to them because of all the water. And it's even up into Canada. According to Agri-Food Canada, April was a soaker for Saskatchewan. Southwestern Manitoba is singing the same tune. And Prairie Alberta is at least average or above average. That's great. Last year was so dry, the ground literally crunched underneath our feet, said one member of Delta Waterfowl. So if you're a duck hunter, there's good news for the fall. Join DU. Join Delta. Help them do all these studies because they're flying. You know, they fly over all these prairie pothole regions. They study it. These volunteers go up there summer. So support that. We have two members of the anglers at USC Fishing Club are at Gunnersville this weekend. Gettysburg and Patrick Walters, they're fishing. I hope they don't get caught cheating like two other guys did down there. I would not think of that of them. But two guys did get caught cheating down at Gunnersville to win a couple hundred bucks. Now they're in jail. You know, it's anytime you're outdoors, it's no good to cheat because what kind of story are you going to tell? You have to believe the lie. And every time you tell it, you have to believe it more. A lot of my friends get on me for that because I just won't bend the rules any. But hey, to each his own. But these guys got caught. They were catching fish, putting them in a holding tank, and then putting them in the boat later on. So, wow. I know in some of the bigger tournaments, they actually polygraph the anglers because there's a lot of money involved. But they got caught this time around. If you wanted something to do this summer, Lake Joe Cassie is a beautiful area of our state. And going into the warmer months of spring, summer, and if you've been here any time, any length of time, you know, the weather changes by the hour. Look at today and tomorrow. And until you get into July and August when it's just hot, hot, hot. you know, maybe a trip up to Lake Jocassee for a boat tour is an option. You know, it's cooler on the water, especially up there. And Jocassee is just a gorgeous place to go. Duke Energy, that lake abuts the mountains of the Blue Wall. If you want a really interesting read, Google the Blue Wall. You know, there are four rivers that feed there. But a lot of the most scenic spots on Jocassee, you only get there by boat. If you have your own, you know what I'm talking about. You can go to Jocassee Outdoor Center. They have boat tours, and they take you to all these places that, you know, they're just, they're pristine environment because there's no houses up through that part of Jocassee. They welcome out families and outdoor groups. Of course, weekends on the lake can be crowded, but they do give them during the week. So call ahead if you can. Something that everybody ought to do here in South Carolina. A really cool little story. There's a video out there from Hunting News that two hunters bagged a coyote with a 1,860-yard shot. And it's a pretty incredible video. But it's, you know, that's a long way. They were shooting a 300 Winchester mag and a 338 Le Paul. But that's a great shot. I would never be able to make that kind of shot, but they did. QDMA reaches record membership. I can remember when they just started off with Grant Woods when he was still at Clemson right here in Greenville. That's a good organization for any of you deer hunters to be a member of. They've got a convention coming up in Athens, Georgia this summer. Good idea to get involved with that. And, you know, we were sitting around the table Mother's Day last weekend, and we have a normal family. But anyway, my niece was sitting there and she was saying that one of her friends sends her a Chuck Norris joke every day. And so we looked up and started, some of these Chuck Norris jokes are great. So per her request, here's one for you. Chuck Norris's baby rattle is still shaking. You know Chuck Norris, you know it's true. There's the music. Get outside, take the back roads. Be careful, take a camera, and I'll see you back here next week. Thanks.